Good evening, Abayisai. Oit Kosvu. They also wrote, I'm towards the end of Simon Tov Resh Tzadik Sif Yud Zayin, the Ramah. He just told us that there is various minhagim, and he told us that we say four psukim, we say loud. The chazan goes over it afterwards. And now he adds an additional minhag, probably the most famous minhag out of all minhagim, which is the following. Oit Kosvu. Another minhag is brought down as well. Shenoagu, the custom is hatinoikos, the children, lotzu, tsuras homon al eitzim vavonim. So that's the, pardon? We are towards the end of Sif Yud Zayin. Towards the end of Sif Yud Zayin, Ramah. Shenoagu hatinoikos, that the children, they have a minhag of, listen to that. Lotzu tsuras homon al eitzim vavonim. They engrave in the woods and in stones. They write in it the name of Haman. Oylichtoiv shame. All write the name of Haman aleihem. So they either scratch. Is that the right word? In woods, in stone, engrave in the stone or in the woods. They write on the stone, or they would write the name Haman. And they bang one on the other. They keep in order. You know, his name should be raised. That's where the minhag comes from. Al derech mochoi timche zecher amolek v'shem reshoim yirkov. As the pasuk says, that we should eradicate the name of reshoim, such as Haman. So the children used to have the name engraved on stones or woods, and used to scratch it so often in order that the name should be completely destroyed. And that's where the banging of the Haman name of Haman comes from. So that's what the Ramah says on page top of page 312. That's where the minhag comes from. Shemakin Haman, that we bang Haman, shekoyrin hamegileves akneses. So if you ever wondered what the source is, as the Ramah says, used to be children who used to have the name of Haman engraved. Either on wood or stone, what's easier? Got experts. Probably on stones, maybe. No, probably on woods. Yeah, and then they used to bang it until the name would be eradicated, would be erased completely. And that would be a very literal fulfillment of Shem Yishoim Yerkov, a very literal. Yeah, no, it's talking about lots of tsuras homon al eitzim avodim. Yeah, maybe the picture as well. Yeah, the pig, but it has to be specifically of Haman.
Well, this was at the time, this time when Haman was being said in the Megillah, or?
Well, I wonder, it doesn't say that explicitly. It doesn't say explicitly there, but that's how it developed. Maybe at the later stage, it was just then when the name was said, eventually. But that's where the minhag comes from. So that's what he says. V'shem Roshem Yekov, v'mizeh nishtar b'va minhag, shemakin Haman k'shekorin ha-Megillah v'yis ha-Knesses. Continues the Ramah. Final few very crucial words. Ve'ein levatel shom minhag. You should never be mevatel a minhag or lilog olof. Don't scream at a minhag. Don't protest a minhag. Ki loy lachinom hukbu. If it's been established, it's been established for a reason. Don't, as we say in Yiddish, don't machavek. Don't just, make fun of an old minhag. It's an ancient minhag. If the Ramah says it's a well-established minhag, so the minhag must be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years old. It's quoted in late Rishonim. It's quoted already. So such an ancient minhag, you can't just, as we say in Yiddish, you can't machavek such a minhag. The Mishnah Berurah, however, is not so thrilled about this minhag. And he says the following, in Sifkot Nun Tes, top of the page. Shemakin Haman, Maril lo yechoshish la'akos Haman. The Maril didn't bother doing that. He wasn't too impressed. He didn't bang Haman when he was said. V'agoyin yayvetz, and however, the Goyin Yayvetz, Koisev al Aviv the Chacham Tzvi, yeah, the Yayvetz was the son of the Chacham Tzvi, and they had some really interesting minhagim. So the Yayvetz said about his father, Chacham Tzvi, Shoyemake, he used to bang, V'roikea Beraglo, he used to go even further. He used to spit, Beraglo, V'toyfeach Besandoloi, K'shegiel Ezchiras Haman. He used to bang, and he used to spit, and he used to then bang on the where he spat, V'toyfeach Besandoloi, and then bang with his, when the name Haman was mentioned, Godim Kosav. So the Yavits went quite extreme about this, quite literal. However, the Prima Godim Kosav, the Mishnah Berurah concludes with the words of the Prima Godim, that he says, the Yotzas Chom Be'ef Seidom, the reward is lost by the loss, that you're losing more than you're gaining, as we say, Shemeval Benin Harbe, because when you're doing too much of these Hamon, you're driving people crazy, you're driving people up the gallows. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says in the name of the Prima Godim. So it sounds like the Mishnah Berurah is not so keen about this. So the Ramaz is quite clear that it's an old and ancient minhag, a well-established minhag. Keep going. The Mishnah Berurah does bring some prominent authorities who do hold of it, but at the end he brings these words of the Prima Godim. Yotzas Chom Be'ef Seidom Shemeval Blin Habes. So it sounds like he's not so keen on it. He doesn't really explain. He just says, "Mevalb in Habe drives people." So, what's actually the problem? What is the problem? What is really the problem, halachically speaking? What is the problem if you do it? You're not going to hear the words. Is that the problem? You're not going to hear the words.
And as well as both of those,
Hefsek. Now I want to show you a most fascinating Sharetzion on this. The Sharetzion in Sif Katan Nun Zayin, at the top of the Sharetzion, says the following: Ve'avsha shatz shoysik b'shal shemakim. He says even if the shliach tzibur, he says the Mishnah Berurah is not so keen about it. He's quite hesitant to be matter this. And he says even if the shliach tzibur shoysik b'shal shemakim, even if the shliach tzibur is silent when they bang Haman. So, in other words, there's not going to be a loss of words. Nobody's going to miss out any words. So, because this chazan is not continuing, he's being silent. And it's still problematic. Ideally, you should not. As we learn, you should not be mafsig lechatchila yoyse kedei neshima. You should not have an interruption, which is yoyse kedei neshima, which is literally a couple of seconds. You shouldn't be mafsig. Don't interrupt the kiyas hamegillah with Yoyse Kedei Neshima. Don't. How long does it take to keep a deep breath? A couple of seconds? Yeah, don't be mafsig longer than that. And without a doubt, we have been mafsig that long. Mishnah Berurah said that's quite a bit yevet. Don't make such an interruption, lechatchila. And if we bang Haman, we're going to have this type of hafsaka. Continue. So that's Mishnah Berurah's main reason why he's not so eager on this. But he does continue. Vine. Look at that. I did not quote, Meshach Tzion is telling us why I did not cite in the Mishnah Berurah over here the opinion of the Morgan Avon in the name of the Levush. The Levush is being quoted that when Haman was being said in Megillah, he used to say, Shem Reshoim Yerkov. Imagine that, the Palu would say, Shem Reshoim Yerkov, when the name of Haman was said. They would say, "Have you ever seen such a thing?" So he says, "I didn't quote that." The Av im name is Zolay Choshev Hefsek. Even if you're going to say this is not considered a Hefsek, even if you say it's not considered an interruption, Mishum De Minyon Shel Yoim, Veknimuch Rosev Seif Yud Gemel. Remember, we spoke about that you're allowed to talk. Remember, we spoke about mid Megillah. If you're allowed to interrupt mid Megillah with talking, we spoke about mid Megillah. Yeah. So he says, that's right, we learned there, as you were saying correctly, Shatzin over there says that if you're talking about Inyon Shel Purim, if you're talking about Megillah-related matters, or in fact, Purim-related matters, you're allowed to interrupt in the middle of the Megillah. So if somebody says, Shem Reshoim Yerkov, do you think that's Purim-related or not? It certainly is. He says, although you may argue that it's Purim-related, and you're allowed to say Shem Reshoim Yerkov, he says, something negative could grow out from this. If you're busy screaming, you're likely to not to hear a couple of words of the chazan. You're not going to hear the Balkor is saying, if you were to busy screaming Shem Rishoyim Yekav, and you might not hear something properly. You may not be Yotze. If you're busy screaming words, you may not hear something that the Shliach Tzibur is continuing. You never hear something, and better not to say anything. So the Mishneh Berurah is quite, may I use the expression, quite powerful about this whole idea of certainly saying something, but even banging Haman. Mishneh Berurah said, Yotzos Chong Be'ef Seidim is not Tzukin. Lemaisu, what's the minig, Rabbi Isai? Lemaisu, what's the minig? We all know. I think in most places the minig is to do it. No, I think in most places. So I was wondering, because I remember that there is some places that have a minig of only doing the first and last, or you're saying that in other places that whenever it's with a title. What about that, Rabbi Isai?
It doesn't sound like it's related to this.
Right.
We wouldn't do it at all.
Right. 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 So I would like to point out something similar to that. That I don't, if this is a minig, I want to speak about minhagim shortly. If this is a genuine minhag, which is a well-established minhag, then, you know, it's for sure something valuable. But if it's an invention, which I have a feeling that some, so I don't know about the minhag you mentioned, but some seem to have been more recent. So they want to, as we said, they want to dance on both chasnas. They want to be on the one hand, be mekayim the minhag. On the other hand, they don't want the kilkulim, which may grow out from that. I, in my opinion, and you may disagree with me, you're more than welcome, you're encouraged to disagree with me, but I think that this may not be, because if you want to stick to the minhag, according to the Ramah, you have to do all of them, because that's the minhag. The minhag is to do it at every Haman. It doesn't qualify just some, just the first, just the last. The Ramah says you have to, you know, that's where the minhag comes from, Shem Rishoyim Yekav, and whenever the name of Haman is mentioned, you go for it. And if you're worried about the kilkulim that Mishneh Berurah mentions, then don't do it at all. So there is not, I feel that it's like, you know, it's like, it's a type of, you're trying to make everybody happy, and ultimately you don't make anybody happy. There's minyanim who decide not to do, you know, if somebody wants to, based on the Mishneh Berurah's approach, not to do any of that against the Ramah, okay, fine. So I can appreciate that kind of mahalach. But to do first and last or something like that, I wonder if there's any sources for that. What do you think about that, Rabbi Isai? I think, do you hear what I'm saying? Do you feel that? What do you think? Nechoyre. Yeah, Nechoyre, yeah.
Where do you understand that he was, he used to spat on the floor? Like, where?
He says, Vroikea. Yeah, it's true, but it's true that over here it's not Muchtar, it's mean that you're quite right. But it is mention the poskim as well. It is mentioned as well. You're right. Over here, the yayv, it's not mochach, then he means that. You're right. Yes. No, the maril over here, choshesh da'akos is someone. It didn't, yeah, correct. The poskim over here mentioned something, because we have over here the key words, which are so important, the Ramah's approach. The Ramah himself, if we are very honest about it, the Ramah didn't like this so much either. But he does say, the Ramah said, this is a minik. If something is an established minik, you don't mess with it. If something is a minik, you don't mess with it. And it's interesting to note that the points came over here, not only the Mishneh Berurah, but the Achronim over here, they discuss the importance of minogim, even the Bialochov, he goes, even if you've got a minik which has got a tzant issa, if you've got a minik that may have a bedieved in some area, a minik something which has been established in Klal Yisrael for many years, but there's some element which is a certain kula, nevertheless, the points can bring over, they discuss that over here, that ein levatel shominik, never be mevatel minik, don't laugh at a minik, don't machavek a minik, kiloy lechinom hukpu, they've been established for a reason. The Gemara says in Psochim, im einon nevim, the Gemara discussed, they didn't know how to do a certain, they weren't sure about something, and then there was a certain minik which was quoted, and the Gemara says, we don't have a proof of that, it sounds like it's quite shaky. The Gemara says, "Im einum neviim hem, bnei neviim hem." If Klal Yisrael do something, if something is established amongst the Elich Hayidim, if something has been established, "Im einum neviim hem." The Gemara says, "If they're not neviim, then at least they are bnei neviim. They are sons of neviim." You may not know why you're doing something. You may not know exactly what the source of that is. But ein levatel shomenek. If something is established in Klal Yisrael, don't shake it. It reminds me. I just remembered a very strong statement, which is strongly related to that, by Shlomo Zalman. Shlomo Zalman was approached by someone who wanted to, it was a discussion. Shlomo Zalman had a very, very large audience of people. Loads of people went up to him from Yerushalayim heavy, you know, Talmid Chachamim, all the way to the very, the very left wing. Yet, you know, plenty of the, of you know, soldiers and army people who they felt very comfortable asking Shlomo's Am their Shailas. There was no hesitation whatsoever. It was very, very open. And somebody once approached him about shaving on Chol HaMoed. Shaving on Chol HaMoed. And he was quite a Talmud Chacham himself, and he had some reasons to be matir shaving on Chol HaMoed. I don't know what the cheshbonis were, but he had some reasons. So Shlomo Zalman told him the following. He quoted himself, a Shaila, I think it was a Shem Arya, one of the previous Gdolim, approached another Godlin, I've forgotten, I'm sorry, I should have checked up, a Godl Beisoel, about that very Shaila of shaving. Shlomo Zalman said, this Gon was approached by another Gon. He said, I think it's seven reasons to be matir shaving on Chol HaMoed. And this Godel, Shlomo Zalman quoting, this Godel said, no, you can't be matir that. You can't be matir shaving Chol HaMoed. You can't be matir shaving Chol HaMoed. You may have seven good points, but we're not matir shaving Chol HaMoed. Couple of days later, this Zohar goes up to this other Godel, and he tells him that, I've got a whole reason, you know, it's Pesach. Pesach's gone. I think that eating sugar on Pesach, sugar was there, quite a lot of shyness in previous doyers, sugar, to eat sugar, to eat sugar and to enjoy sugar on Pesach involved quite a lot of shyness, both for the reason of storage and for other reasons as well. It looked very similar to wheat. There was quite a lot of shyness. We went through quite a lot of shyness with regards to sugar. So he said that I think that one has to asa eating sugar. And that Godel then said, I don't know, eating sugar is definitely okay. He said, I don't understand. When I spoke to you about shaving, you took a very, very stringent approach, although I had seven reasons to be matir. And now when it comes to sugar, I've got so many reasons to be machmir that you can't eat sugar on Pesach, and now suddenly you keep on being mekel and mekel. All the reasons that I'm saying, you are saying there are good reasons to be machmir, and one should be lenient and you can have sugar on Pesach. Why is that? So once you are machmir, so once you are mekel, what are you? This Godel was approached. And then Shlomo Zalman said, this Godel said, he said, that's exactly the point. My duty as a Godel, as a leader of Klal Yisrael, is I'm identifying, listen to those words, what the Minhagim are in Klal Yisrael. I'm going to find sources for them. And I'm genuine Minhagim. What Klal Yisrael, how they live, Klal Yisrael. The Nachlas HaKlaldin, that's a beautiful word, the Nachlas HaKlaldin, inheritance of the Tzibur. If they are makbid on something, then we don't shake that. Even if there is reasons to assume that it's okay, we don't change that. If Klal Yisrael is machmir on something, we're not going to shackle that. We're not going to change. If Klal Yisrael is machmir, then we're going to be machmir. Even if you have got reasons to be matir. We're not going to change that. And that's with regards to shaving on Chol HaMoed. But when it comes to sugar, that's something Klal Yisrael always have been leading to have sugar on Chol HaMoed. That's on Pesach. You didn't have sugar on Pesach. So you have reasons to be machmir. Okay, I'm going to justify it. I'm going to find reasons why it's okay. But the point is that the halach is nachlas haklal. It's haklal Yisrael 40. Had the Klal Yisrael, and that's what B'Shem Zaman answered. I think it's such an important statement by B'Shem Zaman. And the emissary is that Behetim over here says that as well. He brings over here in Sifkot and Tezvov. He says that, he brings the Ramon and the Shubat Marik. Whenever you find a minik, there's one source that amongst the poiskim, en mevatel. Even if it's difficult, under difficult circumstances, you may not be mevatel the klat. You may not be mevatel a minik. You may not be mevatel a minik. But having said that, I just want to point something out. Not everything that, not everything is a minik. Not everything is a minik. Last time I went to buy a suit somewhere, wherever it may have been, and the person said it was a yeet. And then, it wasn't last time, when I bought the suit, the person said, you know, the minig is not to wear those suits anymore. The minig is not to wear those suits. So fine, I just want to say that a minig is something very real. When something considered a minik is something, people do, but people don't do. That's not necessarily considered a minik. A lot of people do things which are wrong, and a lot of people do things which are right. It's not necessarily a minik. So everything I said now was a real, genuine minik. I think that's an important element to add as well. Yes, somebody wants to say something? You want to say something?
When someone starts a new kehillah, it's a stammer, they choose not to keep the minik, that's not...
Yeah. It's a hard one. It's a hard one because there is, it's not so poshut. It's not so poshut because there is also something called minhag hamakom. Occasionally, there is areas of halacha that you're right. The Mishnah Berurah sometimes says when it comes to shofar, I remember one place in particular when it says that if there's no minhag in the town, then you should do it in a certain way, lechatchila dig away. There is that approach sometimes well, but there is things which are so well established that even if in a certain place things are so well established amongst the tzibur that even if you are to start a new minyan, you shouldn't really move from there. Yeah, does that make sense? There's levels in that as well. Yeah, it's true. If you start a new minyan, help me out. That's right. Thank you. Yes, Timbuktu. Yeah, then it's probably different. But as long as you're part of a certain tzibur. Yeah. There is an interesting, I may have mentioned that with Rav Bash, the tuna cans of Rav Bash, did I mention it once? So this I heard from, he was nifted before my days, but somebody witnessed it. I heard this from somebody who witnessed it. Rav Bash was the Rav in Zurich, before my days, and also in the other Kehle, Belech Chassidim. And Rav Bash was a posek. He wrote the Chalitz and Shuvas Chelkas Yankov. He was a proper posek. He had letter to Reb Moshe Feinstein. He was a genuine, high level posek. And he was a chassid sheet. And when he was in Switzerland by the chassid Shekela, and he on Shalashudas by the chassidim. I don't really know, but by the chassidim they eat tuna cans. On Bashal Shudas. I know it's not right. And it used to be when there was some metal, I don't know exactly how they were in the 1950s, maybe 1960s. Do you know how they worked? Does anybody know by any chance? Yes? How were they? Something about, yeah, do you know what?
A key.
A key, right? And you can turn, okay, they're made out of metal. Okay. So that's how, so maybe sardines. Maybe sardines, you're quite right, sardines. Right, that's right. Okay, so that I don't exactly know the exact details, but it was definitely fish, and it was definitely something metal to open. And they went to the Rav Bash, and they told him that there was a keli which was moving towards the right, and they said, you know, is that right to do this on Shabbos? You know, you could easily open them up before Shabbos. It's not a big deal. You could easily open up those. You can open them up before Shabbos, and it's metal, and it involves quite a lot of shilas. And what? So Rav Bash said, I want to tell you something. I know for 100% sure it's mutter to do that. I know 100% sure why it's mutter. And I'll tell you why I know it's mutter. I know it's mutter because it was done 20 years ago, it was done 40 years ago, it was done 60 years ago, and it was done, as long as everybody remembers, these were open on Shalashudas in by the Chassidim, it was always open. So I know for sure it's mutter. Now let's try to understand why it's mutter. And he wrote a chuv on it, he wrote a chuv on it. But the approach was, because that's what you didn't do, it's going to be okay. The ein levatel shom minik. Now, if I decide that this is considered a minik, you know, you may, but he decided that's something which Klal Yisrael does, and it's fine, I'm going to try to investigate why. I remember also the Och Shulchan writes when it comes to Eruv, he said that although there's many reasons, he speaks about the Psak in Shin Mem Hei, about the citywide Eruv, he said, although there is reason to question the citywide Eruvin, but he said it is something which has been done by so many, you can't even count how many cities used to make Eruvin. He said, so we have to try to understand why one can take a lean approach. So he has a whole chiddush there to explain that. The general approach is to be ein levatel shom minhag. Okay. Sif yud ches megillah beyud dalet uvetesvav tzurich lach soich achar asorah. Megillah on the 14th and on the 15th tzurich lach soich achar asorah. You should always try to read with a minion. Always try to seek to read the Megillah with a minion. But if you haven't got a minion, then you can even individual reading is fine as well. The Mishnah Berurah is a chiddush in Sifkot and Samach Beis. He says, if at that time it's being read in shul, then it's got 100 people davening in and reading the Megillah in his house. He's got a huge house, his own private mansion. He's got 100 people coming And he's reading the Megillah. There are 100 people attending. Mitzvah leilich l'sham. You still should go to shul. Mishum mitzvah z'v'roif m'roif am hadas melech. There's an inyan of going to shul. There's an inyan of going to shul. V'chein mishay your basis. Somoch l'beis haknesses. If your house is near the beis haknesses. V'chalnoinu is psucha is the beis haknesses. Somebody across. If the lady wants to hear the Megillah, and you can just open up the windows. So, afilu achi tzoch leilich l'beis haknesses l'kule alma mishum b'roif am. Even if you just leave a cross, and you can just go in, you don't have to, you can just open up the windows. No, it's not, you have to go to shul to listen to the Megillah.
What's the difference between more than private house than the shul?
That's a good question. If I'm not mistaken, the Chai Adam, quoting Shaitzin earlier, says you should still go to shul. If I'm not mistaken, the Chai Adam.
Yeah,
it overrides Rovam, because it appears to Menes.
So why is it because of Rovam?
Yeah, it's good. I'm not sure. Good point. Yeah, good point. Don't know, but that's what the Chayodom seems to pass. That's what Mishnah Berurah said earlier from the Mishatzin. Says the now comes the Ramo, which I think is important to take home. Yesh lei stapek, one should doubt. Im noshim etstafes la'asorah. Somebody mentioned that the other day. Maybe women do count for a minyan. What do you think about that, Rabbi Isai? Maybe women do. How is that? Women may count for a minyan. What do you think about that? Says the Mishnah Berurah, why is that? Normally we know women don't count for a minyan. Why do they count for a minyan over here? Sif koten samach gimel im noshim de efsha. The kivim durak mishum pirsum enes sagif be anoshim. So since this is a pirsum enes, it's not the minyan aspect of
tefillah.
Correct, of tefillah. It's not tefillah. It's a pirsum enes, so therefore women count for pirsum enes as well. Sagif be anoshim. Yeah, because I suppose a pirsum anes, you still need to have an oilam, and an oilam is only with what figure would you? You can't make up a figure, so that's a figure.
You say the more the better.
The more the better.
Two's better than one, 10's better than nine.
Right. Okay. I hear. That there should be levels within. It's not. It's not. Lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah says. The Mishnah Berurah, no, it's not the Mishnah Berurah. The Poskim say that they question what happens if you've got five men and five ladies. Would that be okay as well or not? When we're talking about Vishnu Noshim Mitzdafas La'asorah, well, it sounds like Mitzdafas La'asorah, but certainly if there's 10 ladies, what happens if you've got five and five? Is that also considered? Could you also add them up? Could you add them as well? So that means from Noshim Amoy, it sounds like Mitzdafas La'asorah, that they add up as well, so you can actually add them. Yeah, but not the others disagree with this, Ramon, and they say, because he says they stop back, so he's not sure. Some say that it's als pritzus, so you shouldn't. Als pritzus, you shouldn't. Yeah. What about children?
So what's the shaila? Even if there isn't a minion, five men, you ignore the women, you still do exactly the same thing.
Yeah, but you want to know if you've got alternative options. If you've got alternative options, should you still rather go there or not? What about children? Can children count? If not, if women count, do children count? No. Says the Mishnah Berurah, since the Ramah doesn't mention Ketanim, Mashum, the Sefirah, it sounds like the Ketanim Bevadayim Mitzdaf from Lassor. Unfortunately, children don't count for minyan, even for this. They have no obligation whatsoever. The only obligation they've got is Al Chinuch, and therefore they certainly don't add up. And continues the Ramah. Let's just finish the Siman. Beizah Hashem v'im koroyis l'betzibu ve'ez yochid lo yishama. If the Megillah was read with a tzibu, and an individual did not hear the Megillah, he didn't hear it. So the halacha is yochid likroyis afudu lechatchila beyochid. Hoil v'kirin oyis l'boyisi be'asora. If a person missed the Megillah, but the Megillah was read in town with a minyan, he doesn't have to seek for a minyan now. Go to a later minyan and try to. He doesn't have to. Why is that? Because the Megillah was read. The Pirsum HaNeis happened already. The Megillah was read with a minyan. The Pirsum HaNeis was created. So therefore, you don't personally have to go to a minyan. It's not necessary at all. And continues the Ramah to finish off. If an individual reads in its right time, he can make a bracha. Although you're reading on your own, brachas still apply. And tomorrow, Mitzvah, we'll start with Simon Tov, Vayishtadi Aleph.